Well, we are honored to have Elizabeth and Andrew Braze with us. They founded the Asia Commission over 8 years ago, and they've been in China for those many years. And really, it is taking the Great Commission to China. And it takes many forms with them and all the different things. I mean, I really could be standing here all night to share all the things that they're doing, Bible schools, training leaders, reaching out to orphans and lepers, thank you, building wells, helping with natural disasters. I mean, just whatever there's a need, you know, they look to meet the need. And, you know, with our mission here is empowering people to give life. That's what they do. They give life. And if you want to have a really interesting person on Facebook, go ahead and friend the two of them. I mean, just their family and their story and the things that they're doing is quite interesting. And they're a great ministry to partner with. And so we are thrilled to have them with us here tonight. And so, Andrew, why don't you come? Just welcome. Glad you're here.
Testing. Praise God. I think I'm on now. Should have done that before I got here. I'm not used to using microphones in China, so you can forgive me. Hallelujah. Well, let's just open in prayer. And I've got a little video I'm going to show in a little bit, but I think I'm going to open up with the Word first and share that a little bit and then just see how the Lord leads. But Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and we thank you for your goodness and your mercy and your love, Lord God. We thank you for your compassion and your loving kindness, Lord. And we just thank you that you desire to teach us tonight. You desire to open our hearts and even more than we want to understand, you desire for us to understand your word. Even more than we desire to be used of you, Lord, you desire to use us. Even more than we desire to know you, Lord God, you desire to know us. And so, Father, we just submit to that tonight, and we receive the Holy Spirit as our teacher. And the Word of God is truth. And so, Father, we ask you to speak to us and use me, Lord, tonight to bring a word in season to those that are weary, to those that are ready to be used by you but just need a little extra encouragement or just a word, Father, in season that would bring your church to a higher level, that you might receive more glory and more honor through our lives in 2015. And as we look at the end of this year, Lord God, that we'll look back and say, this year we've seen more fruit. And we brought fruit into the kingdom for your glory, Father. And we'll just thank you for it. And we just, by faith, declare that this year will be a year of fruit and increase and fruit that remains for your glory, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Praise God. Well, let's turn to the book of Romans, chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 and verse 1. And I'm still a King James kind of guy, so you often forgive me. Most churches don't use that, but that's the Bible I've used, and it's got good notes in it. And so you can read it in your version, and I'll read it in mine. But Romans chapter 10, verse 1. It says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." And so what I ask you tonight is, what is your heart's desire and prayer to God? Now, I'm going to, in a group this big, there's some people that have no real heart's desire. They're just kind of dry and stale and musty. Anybody dry and stale and musty? Okay, good. Nobody raised their hand. So, but in this size group, there's going to be some people that maybe you feel like, well, I've lived my life. I'm a little older. Or maybe you feel like, well, you know, I've just messed up. I've done some things and how could God use me? Or maybe you just have gotten, the Bible says that the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of the flesh, and these things come in and they choke the word, and maybe you don't have, we'll call it a godly heart's desire. You know, you might have a heart's desire to get married, or you might have a heart's desire to start a business, or you might have a heart's desire to get a good job, or to go to university or college, and just, y'all don't call it university here, do you? See, I've been overseas too long. But to go to college and you may have a heart's desire, but I'm talking about a God-given heart's desire, something that burns on the inside of you to accomplish for the kingdom of God. Not just, you know, I want the American dream, I want a big house and a nice car. But and that's it's okay. God wants to bless us with those things that we need, and that He wants us to be blessed. But this is the Apostle Paul speaking here, I believe, and he says, "My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." So this is he has a desire. He has a heart for the lost, and specifically his Israeli brothers and sisters, because he's a Jew, and he says, "My heart's desire and prayer to God is for Israel." So I believe that the Apostle Paul was spending time in prayer. He was focused. He was thinking about these things on a regular basis. So one way that you can tell what your heart's desire is what are you focused on? What are you living for? What are you, when you wake up in the morning and you go through the day or you're in the shower, what is it that's on your mind when you have free time? What godly heart's desire do you have today? Do you have this week? Do you have this month? Do you have this year? What has God placed in your heart? Or what have you even just gotten from the Word that is your heart's desire, that you're seeking God in prayer to find out, to see it come to pass? And if we look back here in the book of Romans chapter 9. Let's see, where is it at here? Hallelujah. I'm going to use my phone, because I most of my notes are on my phone anyhow, but I better pull my notes out. Hallelujah. Romans 9 and verse 3. He says, "I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh." So he had such a heart for his brothers and sisters, the people of Israel, that, let's see here, 9 and verse 2, verse 3. Can we put 3 up there? It's okay. So he said, verse 3, he said, "For I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, those of my own race." Can we say that tonight? Have we ever really felt that for the lost? I don't think I have. I mean, there's been times of intercession and times, I mean, we 8 years ago, well, actually really 10 years ago, God called us to China. And we made a commitment to move to China. And then 8 years ago, we moved to China. And we've given our lives for the gospel. But I can't honestly say, like the Apostle Paul, that I wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, those of my own race. Now, we don't need to be cursed, because the Bible says Jesus was already cursed. He became a curse for us. He hung on the tree. So it's not that we need to be cursed. It's not something, there's nothing you can do. Jesus has already done it all. Amen? But it's the heart he has is he's like, God, he had such a heart for the lost that I don't think any of us have ever really experienced. I mean, I could be wrong. I don't know you. I've been to this church twice in the past. This is my third time here, and I know some of you from Facebook, but I can say that even in our lives, giving up what we had in America and moving to China, I don't have this kind of heart for the lost. But apparently there was something that the Apostle Paul had, the writer of this book had, he had a heart for the lost to the point where he said, "I want to see them born again." And so I believe that that had to have come with spending time with Jesus. You know, the Bible says that they saw the disciples and they knew that they'd been with Jesus. They could tell that they'd been with Jesus. And so when people look at your lives, can they tell that you've been with Jesus? And can they, do you have the fruit of compassion? And do you have this godly desire for the lost to be born again? Because that was Jesus' main desire. That's why he came to the earth. He had a burning desire for the lost. The Bible says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God." He was looking at the fruit. He was looking at you and you. He was looking at saying, "I'm going to have a relationship with these people. And so I'm willing to endure whatever it takes to know them." And so we look, and that's what's precious to God, is his people. And so I just challenge you, let's look at another scripture here. Let's go to the book of, hallelujah. Let's go to the book of Romans again. I gotta get my, thank you, Jesus. And, well, I'll quote it here while I'm looking for it. But the Bible says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Yeah, my Bible's giving me, or my phone here is giving me, I'm in the wrong setting. I'm in the wrong, it's giving me problems. I'm sorry. Apologize. We'll get it. I don't even need it. But I'll get it. It's up there. So I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So there's power in the gospel. I was up in where was it? What state was I in? What country was I in? I was in Alabama, and we were driving. Is that a? That's another country, isn't it? I mean, come. And so I was up in Alabama, and this we were driving. And it was with another fellow, and we were in a Jeep, and there was a guy walking alongside the road, and we drove past him and felt like we needed to stop and pick him up. So we made a U-turn and came back, and then made another U-turn because it was one-way roads. We stopped and said, "You want a ride?" And he was walking, and kind of a burly guy, and he was Alabama. I mean, so. And so we stopped and picked him up, and he was riding there, and I started sharing the gospel. I was in the passenger seat, and he was behind me, and I started sharing the gospel. This was just a few weeks, 2 or 3 weeks ago now. And shared the gospel with him, and then he'd been to the hospital. He had high blood pressure, and so I felt led to pray for him. And so he was getting ready to get out of the car, and we just stopped. And he was going to get out, and I said, "Can I pray for you?" And he kind of reluctantly said, "Yeah." And so I just reached back. I couldn't see him. I just reached back, and I said, "Can I take your hand?" And I took his hand and just started praying for him. And I wasn't even believing. I was just like, this is something I'm supposed to do. The Bible says to preach the gospel. It says to share the gospel. It says to lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. So I was just kind of going through the motions because I wasn't like really using my faith or believing God for anything. I mean, I was praying in faith, but not like, I was just kind of doing it because I had other things I had to do. And I prayed for him and prayed for God to bless his family and, you know, open his eyes and minister to him and bring healing to his body. And the next thing I know, the guy, he just started crying. And the power of the Holy Spirit came on and he just started weeping. And like I said, I wasn't hardly even using any faith at all, other than I was praying the word from my heart. But it wasn't like one of those prayers where you're just believing with the person and you're just like, every part of your being is involved. I don't know if you understand. But it was just, I was just kind of like, okay, we got this guy in the car and he's going to get out and this is an opportunity and I don't want to miss it. And so, so I'm praying and then the Holy Spirit just came on him and he just started crying. And then we got his information, and the fellow that was driving is going to follow up on him. But it was just an opportunity because I was willing to be used by God. And so I just encourage you that as you go through life, and that's what this church, that's what you learn here. This is nothing new, but I want to encourage you again to be involved. Because I'll tell you another story. Right before I came back to China this time, I had the opportunity to meet with the owner of a brothel in China, in our city. And I got to go there and meet with the guy, and I started sharing the gospel with him. And the power is in the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. There's supernatural power in the gospel. There's the grace of God is in the word of God. The grace to be saved. You know, a lot of people say, well, you know, you need to live the life. You don't necessarily have to say anything. You just need to live it. And you need to live the life. You can't live a life that's not pleasing to God and then expect people to listen to you. But you also can't just live the life and not open your mouth. We can look in the book of Romans chapter 10 and verse, let's see here. We'll go back here to verse 14, Romans chapter 10 and verse 14. We'll start with verse 13. Sorry about that. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verse 14, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not heard? I'm sorry. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? So in order for them to call, they have to believe. In order to believe, they have to hear. They have to actually hear the gospel, the good news. This is good news church, right? They got to hear the good news. You have to actually open your mouth. Say, open your mouth. It isn't enough just to live the life. Now, it's not enough just to open your mouth. You need to live life too, but there's power in the Word of God. And so, as we serve God, as we live for God, as we walk with God, we need to spend time with God where we get that heart for the lost. Like the Apostle Paul, I can't even imagine. I mean, I don't think he was just saying that, you know, well, I wish that I'd be cut off. It's written, it's recorded in the Word of God. God wanted it there for us to see that he had this heart for the lost to the point he would even say, I would even be willing to lose my salvation and be cut off from Christ. I think we have a long way to go, and I think the world needs us to have a heart like that. There's people in Augusta, Georgia, in Georgia, in America, in all over the world that have never known our Jesus. They don't have a relationship with their Father. They've never experienced life with Him. And so we need to be that life. We need to bring that life to them so they can experience it. Now in let's turn to the book of Acts, verse 4 and verse 29. So they'd been persecuted. They'd been dealing with persecution, and they came back together. It says they came to their own company. Acts 4, verse 29. It says, and they said, and now, O Lord, hear their threats, and give us your servants great boldness in preaching your word. Stretch out your hand with healing power. May miracles, signs, and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And this prayer... After this prayer, the meeting place shook, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they preached the Word of God with boldness. Now, these are the same disciples that, if you understand, if you read the Bible, there was a day when Jesus breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Ghost. He breathed on his disciples, and he said, receive the Holy Ghost. And I believe they were born again, they received the Holy Ghost. And in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, it says they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. And they received the Holy Ghost. And these same people were out preaching the gospel after the day of Pentecost. And then they were being persecuted, and they had this other experience where they asked for boldness. And after the prayer, the meeting place shook, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they preached the Word of God with boldness. Now, if we look in the book of Acts, what does it say? Jesus said they would receive the Holy Spirit, and then they'd be what? They'd be couch potatoes? They'd be witnesses. And so we receive the Holy Spirit to be a witness. Now, we looked at the scripture there where it said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. And so now I would ask you, are you ashamed of the gospel? And then nobody wants to say, yeah, I'm ashamed of the gospel. That's me. Sorry, I mean, it's just the way it is. I'm honest, I'm ashamed of the gospel. Nobody would raise their hand, hopefully. Or I guess if you're honest, I mean, that's good. If you know, that's the first step of recovery, they say. I'm recovering, I don't know what you call that. I'm just recovering from being ashamed of the gospel. So, but... Now, if you say, so if I said, are you ashamed of the gospel? Everyone would say, no, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Now, ask yourself, how do you know you're not ashamed of the gospel? The easiest way to tell you're not ashamed of the gospel is if you're sharing it. So if you would test yourself today, and I won't ask you to raise your hand, but if you test yourself today and you say, am I ashamed of the gospel? Well, when was the last time I shared it? And you say, well, did I do it this week? And they'd say, no, and you'd say, or maybe you'd say yes. Did I do it today? And some of you would say yes, and some of you'd say no. And if I said, did I do it this month? And some would say yes, and some would say, I don't remember the last time I shared the gospel. Or I haven't done it in months, or I've never shared the gospel with somebody. Or I've, You know, then you would say, well, maybe I am ashamed of the gospel. And maybe you're not. Now, just because you haven't shared the gospel doesn't mean you're ashamed of the gospel. Maybe it just means that you don't know how to share the gospel. Because it could be that you're not ashamed, but you just have no idea how to do it. And so that would be why you would go through the Give Life course, right? So you could learn how to share the gospel. That's why this is a good news church, because you're about sharing the good news. So if you say, well, I'm not ashamed, but I'm not sharing the gospel, then you need to learn how to share the gospel, and you need to get with somebody and go out and do it. That would be, so you're either ashamed of the gospel or you don't know how. Or maybe you're the next person, maybe you're just shy and quiet, and you need boldness. Well, I'll tell you, the Holy Spirit is bold. And so if you're just quiet and shy, I used to be quiet and shy. Now, I can tell you stories. I don't have time. Let's see how much time I got. I get like 3 minutes because I got to do my video. But I used to ride the short bus. Y'all can laugh. I was in like the school for the kids that actually the people that rode the short bus with me were handicapped kids, because I was so far behind in school and doing so badly in school, they put me in a special school for handicapped kids. And where am I going with this? I ride the long bus now, but I was, and I didn't have any friends. That's what I'm saying. I mean, nobody wants to talk to the kid that rides the short bus, right? I mean, when I was a kid, that's how it was. So I didn't have any friends, but I wouldn't talk to anybody. I was really quiet. In fact, when I went in the military, when I was really quiet, my parents sent me to counseling because I wouldn't talk to anybody. I was so shy that I wouldn't talk to anybody, so they sent me to counseling. Well, when I went into the military, you have to fill out these forms and tell them if you've ever been to the doctor, if you ever had any mental issues, if you've ever seen a counselor or anything. So we had to fill out the forms. Yeah, I went to counseling for this, this, and this. It said I was shy. And then they had to get like a note from the doctor and note from my parents. And so in my military record, my service record, it has all these notes about how quiet and shy I was. But if you know me now, I'm not quiet and shy. So I don't, but the Holy Spirit, I was in high school, I was in biology class, and I was failing the biology class, and so I said, well, if I'm going to fail it anyway, there's no sense for me going. So I was sitting out in the grass outside the biology class, reading my Bible, because I was just behind in school. I didn't start going to school until I was in the fourth grade. It's a long story. But so I'm sitting out there, and I'm praying. I prayed to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And I got filled with the Holy Ghost, and I got bold. And I started witnessing to Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons, and I got the Word of God in me, and I started seeking God and learning what the Word says. And I started sharing the gospel in my school and in my neighborhood. And when I had like a mile walk up the hill, and the Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses on my road were stuck with me all the way up the hill, because they lived at the end of the hill on this side, and I lived on this side. And I would witness to them all the way up the hill every day and all the way down in the morning. And so, but I went from being the one that was medically quiet. I was clinically shy. To the point where I had to get a clearance from the military to get in, to one that the Holy Spirit brought boldness to. So I encourage you, if you're here tonight and if you're either ashamed of the gospel, or you don't know how to preach the gospel, or you just need boldness. And then just like in the book of Acts, they came to God and they said, grant us boldness. They came to him and then they received an infilling. They were baptized, they were flooded with the Holy Ghost, and they got boldness, and they went out and preached the gospel, and signs and wonders, and they ministered the Word of God, and lives were changed, and glory came to God. So I encourage you, whatever area you're in, and maybe you're already preaching the gospel, you could be bolder. I just encourage you tonight with the Word of God to just get into the Word, get with the Holy Ghost, ask God for boldness. Even if you're bold, ask Him for more boldness. So I don't think I finished my story, but I was in it, so I got to meet this guy with the brothel. Did I finish that story? So we met, and I started sharing the gospel with this guy. And the Holy Spirit came, and the grace of God came, and the power of God came, and he repented. He didn't just say, you know, okay, that's a good gospel, but there's power. It doesn't always work like this. But you plant seeds, and you water seeds, and God brings the increase. But he repented, and he released the 27 girls. And he gave them severance pay, and he bought tickets and sent them back to their hometowns, and he closed the brothel down. Because there's power in the gospel. And so I'm going to show the video and show some of the other ministries. This church has fruit because you guys have sown. This church has given into our ministry in China. And so there's fruit in what you see in the video tonight. You'll see fruit, and you guys have a part in this. This church has a part in that. And so if you could start this video, if you would, please. And I'm going to narrate it. The first pictures you're going to see are pictures from our summer camps. We do summer camps, a fifth annual summer camp. We've done it for 5 years in a row. But these kids are kids from minority, they're minority kids. In the province we live in, there's about 27 minority groups from up in the mountains. They have their own language, their own culture, their own clothing. And they live up in, we're in a mountainous area in remote areas. And so the parents come down into the city to look for jobs. They're migrant workers. And so they send their kids to these schools, and we have summer camps every year in these schools. And we're getting ready to have another one. And we're just, this year we'll have another one in June. I actually got everything scheduled and set up before I left, because I won't be there. So we go into these camps and we share the love of God. We share the gospel. We love on these kids. We minister to the kids, and the Holy Spirit comes, and you can just see the kids crying and the Holy Spirit ministering, and kids get saved. And so we're here tonight to open our mouth for the speechless and plead the cause for the poor and needy. We're here to make to advocate for those in China who don't have anyone else to advocate for them, for those that Jesus loves. And these are pictures of these kids that I was telling about from the minority workers, the migrant workers' kids, and we just love on them, and we just see lives changed for the glory of God. And we are able to do this because of this church and other churches that partner with us. And so it's encouraging to see the Holy Spirit working in lives and working in, you know, one person was saying, you know, I want to reach my city. And that's honorable. That's noble. That's something you should do. And then one guy said, well, I want to reach my state. He said, I have a bigger vision. And the next guy said, I want to reach my nation. And they said, and the next guy said, well, I want to reach the world. And the other guy said, you guys dream too small. And then everybody said, what's bigger than the world? And he said, I want to reach generations. And so that's what we're reaching, the children, the middle-aged people, the adults. This is ministry. We did an earthquake relief that we did in our province. We had an earthquake in 2014 last year, and the houses collapsed, and several people in this village died. The Chinese government did a good job in the bigger villages, but we went up to this little village up in the mountains where the government wasn't getting to, and we went in and shared the gospel and planted a church and saw people saved and brought in blankets. And can you pause that for a second, please? We brought in blankets and water and food and rice and just loved on the people and shared the gospel. And like I said, we were able to plant a church in that village, and it's growing and thriving. And these are pictures of a Christian business seminar we did. We brought in a Christian businessman from America, a successful Christian businessman. He has a lathe manufacturing, you can hit play, please, if you would, machine shop. But he's a successful businessman. He's owned a couple other businesses. He came in and ministered to the Chinese Christian business people and taught them how to be successful Christian business men and women. And just, we're still hearing reports of how God has used what was taught in those seminars to minister to people. Right now we have 13 Bible schools, 11 in China, 1 in Myanmar, and 1 in Laos. And we just teach the word of God to these people. What happens in China is somebody gets saved, they share the gospel with all their friends and family, they get 30 or 40 people around them that are following them, but they've never had any formal training. Can you pause that again, please? They've never had formal training, they don't know the word of God, they don't have a foundation in the word, and then cults will come into these house churches and then find out who the leaders are, and then turn the pastors and leaders in. The police come and arrest the pastors and leaders. And then the cult leaders, because they don't have foundations in the Word of God, because the pastors didn't have foundations in the Word of God, they'll start teaching their false doctrine. And so what we're doing is about half of our students are pastoring already. They're already pastors. They have house churches. And then underground house churches. And then the other half are young or middle-aged, or even older people who are wanting, they feel like they're called to ministry, but they want to get a foundation in the Word of God before they go. And so that's what we do with our Bible schools. But hit play again, if you would, please. But everything we do with the compassion ministries, you see clean drinking water and water storage projects, and we're doing well projects. The ministry we do in the leper villages, the ministry we do with the human trafficking prevention and rescuing ladies that have been trafficked, the youth camps, the summer camps we do, Every ministry you'll see up on the screen, we take the Chinese nationals that are in our Bible schools that are working with, to put a heart in them for these projects, to help. So it's not, we're not just doing compassion ministries because there's needs. Because there's needs, but there's always going to be needs. But we're doing it with the focus of training Chinese nationals and training the pastors and training the evangelists and training the Chinese Christians to do these. And so we've got some agricultural projects where we're putting in, we're giving them, helping them set up farms where they're raising goats and chickens, and aquaponics where they grow fish, and then they use the fish and the fish fertilizer to grow plants. And so these are some of the aquaponics, and we go into the remote villages up in the mountains where they've never heard the gospel. They've never heard the name of Jesus. This is my son Joshua. That's his goat face. Anybody can do a goat face? So this is one of our fish ponds that we've set up for aquaponics. And so we have two different. Some we go into villages and we set these agriculture projects up to share the gospel, and then we also set the agriculture projects up to help pastors in the villages support themselves. How many people like the head on their fish? Oh, there's one brother. A few. Well, this is better than most churches. Most of y'all waste your fish. Wasteful, sinners. So these are babies and children that, you know, our abortion prevention and child abandonment prevention ministry. These are all kids that the parents were going to have abortions or abandon their babies. And we ministered to them and shared the gospel with them and with the parents. And this is a set of twins that was going to be aborted. And we just loved on these parents and shared the gospel. There's power in the gospel. And the women and these kids made choices for life. This is a girl that 8 years ago, I traveled 12 hours by bus. And I went to this city where this girl, and we went into the school that she was at. She was just a high school. Can you pause it, please? She was a high school student, and we went in and shared the gospel in her high school, teaching English. It was 7 days after I'd arrived in China, if we'd moved there, and I traveled 12 hours, and we shared the gospel with that school, and that girl now is serving God, and she's been married, and her husband are serving God, and just some lasting fruit. This guy was a guy, he sells candy on the street. It's like taffy. He has a little thing. He goes ding, ding, dong, ding, ding, dong, and he walks down the street, and people hear it, and then they come by and buy his candy. So I felt led. He was walking down the street, and I said, come here. I want to share the gospel with you. I shared the gospel with him, and he got saved. And that was about 4 years ago. And about 4 months ago, I heard him again. Ding, ding, dong, ding, ding, dong. The candy he sells is called ding, ding, tong. And so the sound he makes is kind of like ding, ding, tong, ding, 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 dong. And so I hear him from inside a building, and I'm like, hey, could that be him? Because there's several people that sell it. But I came down and I said, hey, how are you doing? And I said, are you doing good? And he walks all day long selling this stuff. His wife makes it home, and he just walks around the city all day long, from early morning to late night selling it. And I said, did you read the Bible I gave you? And he said, yeah, I read it. And I just finished reading the whole thing. He was excited, and God was moving in his life. Hit play again, please. I'm probably already going over time, but hallelujah. So this is a guy, when I first got to China, I started teaching this guy on the right how to cook Western food, and now he's got his own Western training school. He teaches Chinese people how to cook Western food. This is his school. He's got a small school, and God's blessing him through that school. And you can see just multiplications. We're empowering him to do business and empowering the Christians to strengthen their communities. He was written up in one of the magazines in our city. This is a write-up. This is a girl that 4 years ago, her parents were going to have an abortion. They were young, unmarried couple, they conceived a child, they were going to have an abortion. I shared the gospel with them, and they made a choice not to have an abortion. They'd gotten married, and that's the girl. That was her four-year birthday just a few months ago. These are just some pictures of coming up of our ministry. We got, like I said, we go into remote villages. We drive as far as we can drive. We ride motorcycles as far as we can ride. We go up in the mountains and hike the goat trails as far as we can hike the goat trails. And you can see they're using water buffaloes. Everybody's got a water buffalo, right? Everybody's got a water buffalo. Okay. You don't want me to sing. You all know VeggieTales, right? Okay. So we go up in the mountains, and we share the gospel. You might have seen a picture just a minute ago of me with my backpack on. It was a basket pack. But we hike up into the mountains and share the gospel where they've never heard the gospel. These are some hitchhikers I picked up and shared the gospel with. The picture previously was, oh, here it is. This is my basket pack. So I'll haul supplies in to villages where we can't drive or can't ride motorcycles. But you can see there's people all over in China that have never heard the gospel. They've never even heard the name of Jesus. And so what we're doing there is we're sharing the gospel, we're sharing the good news, and we're loving on these people, we're ministering to them. These are some. This is a baby that we took in, an orphan, and we've taken several orphans in the past and cared for them until they've been placed in families. But she was abandoned because she was having seizures and she was blind. And so we just loved on her. And this is the pictures of my wife and my son and daughter. And we cared for her, and she was with our family. This is ministry we do in leper villages, our leper village outreach. This is a shower, the beginning of a shower we built. It's finished now, and we laid the block. And I did a lot of the building myself, and we had some people in from the States that helped. And we take big bags of rice into the leper villages and love on the people. There's 129 leper villages in our province, over 1,000 lepers. So some of the leper villages only have two or three. Some have 30 or so. This is a doctor. We were fitting a prosthetic leg. This lady, we got helped her get eye surgery. This is a guy whose foot was completely rotten due because of the ulcerated because of the leprosy. And so it's just a wicked, wicked disease. And they've been treated. They're no longer contagious for leprosy, but what leprosy does is it destroys the nerves, and they get injuries and infections, and it just gets worse. And so we just love on the people and share the gospel. And we've seen many of the villages, everybody's gotten saved. Some of the villages, just there's one or two that haven't got saved, but we're preaching the gospel and seeing people born again. And they're all elderly people. This is another guy. We were able to get this all healed up on his foot. We treated it. And we used giving antibiotics as well as some natural homeopathic type things, and we got that all healed up. But you can see they're all elderly. Most of these people have been in the villages for 40, 50, 60 years. We took in refrigerators into this leper village because they were eating food that was left out and getting sick from it. These are all ladies that have been rescued from human trafficking. And you can see they've got kids, and so they were selling themselves to provide for their children. As a mother, I'm not a mother, but as a mother, can you imagine having to come to that where you'd say, I'm willing to do that so my children can eat? And so we just bless these ladies and minister to them. And you're going to see a lady, a picture coming up here. It seems like it's slowing down. But you'll see a lady that was just, she was rescued. And then we were able to minister to her, and she got set free. She's a young girl. Might need to drag it ahead or pause it and then play or something. I don't know why. It seems like it's stuck for some reason. There we go. It's moving again. But then coming up, you're going to see this girl, and you'll see pictures of before she was rescued. Then you'll see pictures of her wedding. God completely restored her life, and she's gotten married, and God's still ministering to her heart and bringing healing. But this is before she was rescued. This is when she was still being trafficked and being sold. The picture coming up here is when she was in the hospital getting some medical care before she'd been rescued. And then this is on her wedding day. How many can give God glory? How many? God is restoring lives. Amen. This is her wedding day, her and her husband, after she'd been married. So we see just in 2014, all the way from 2007 to 2015, we've seen so much lasting fruit. So we're here to open our mouths for the speechless and plead the cause for the poor and needy. Proverbs 31:8-9. We're advocating for the pastors that we're training, and we're advocating for the people that we're ministering to, but it's all about raising up the nationals to preach the gospel, and it's all for the glory of God. Amen? So I'm done. I went over a little bit, so I apologize, but actually, I haven't. It's only 8:04. I still got like 7 minutes. No, not 7 minutes, but I thought it was already 8:10. You said 8:10, right? Does anybody have any questions? I thought I was out of time. There's got to be some questions. Come on. Yes, ma'am. I speak fluent Chinese. I studied at the university for 3 years, and then I studied at a community college for another 3 years, so I can speak Mandarin, and I can read Chinese and type Chinese. I send Chinese text messages and Chinese emails. I can't write very good anymore. I used to be able to write when I was in the university. I'd write college reports, but I've forgotten how to write. It's so much harder to write than it is to send text messages. So I've gotten lazy with all my work. Any other questions? Oh, this is one. So we also, so many people, because that's a good question, which leads into this, is there's about 5,000 Chinese characters, and so there's a lot of illiterate people, because each word, we have 26, right? There's like 5,000. I can read about 3,000, which is about enough to read the newspaper. I can read the newspaper, and I still run into words every now and then I'd have to look up, but almost all the signs on the street or business signs or newspaper stuff I can read. But there's a lot of people who never had the opportunity to hear the gospel. And they can't read. And so that makes it difficult. And so we have these Bibles. And so they're audio Bibles. And we distribute these to people that we share the gospel with, especially that can't read. But also in the leper villages or people that have bad eyesight. And so we take these out, and then so we go back into the villages, and we find that people have just memorized the Bible. They don't have anything else to do, especially the leper villages. And I'll be like, can you quote the book of Romans? And some of the guys, there's one guy that he can just like, he starts and he just quotes. I'm like, okay, we're done now. You don't have to quote anymore. I believe you. But he's just sitting there listening to the word of God, and it's getting in his heart. And in some of the other villages, when they, in the evenings when they don't have anything to do, they're just hungry for God. They're hungry for the word of God. And so with these, they can't read, a lot of them. Or if they just want to be able to listen to them, we'll give them these audio Bibles, and they can listen to the word of God. And we can also put, they've got a like SD card, and we can put Bible teaching in here as well. But most of what we do is just the word of God, getting the word into them. And so, because they can't read, because, I mean, it's not easy to read Chinese, and a lot of them haven't had opportunities to even go to school. And so we give them audio Bibles so they can read, and they can get the word of God in them, because the word of God is power. It's alive. It's the power of the gospel, and it changes lives. Amen. So I'm going to turn it over to you, Pastor, and I appreciate you all and the opportunity to be able to share with you this evening.
They'll be around after service if you got more questions. But I'm just amazed at their lives and how they use what they have for the glory of God. Everything they have, and that's very inspiring.